You are listening to Wake Up or Break Up with your host, LCB. I'm so excited you decided to join me today. Are you ready to get started? Let's go. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Wake Up or Break Up. I'm here with Joseph Walter Goody again. He is back for part two of the question and answer session. I want to set the stage for you guys. We are here in my little office, which is in our son's bedroom. Joe has decided to light some Palo Santo, which is like this wood incense, kind of clears away negative energy. What is happening right now?
You gotta take deep breaths in so you feel calm, relaxed, and collected. That's not how it goes, huh?
Do you feel calm, relaxed, and collected now?
We'll see.
I love the smell of this Palo Santo, you guys.
Palo Santiago.
If you guys want to clear your energy,
go in the link in my bio and you can buy it on Amazon.
He's such a liar. So when I posted last week's episode, I did have a few people send questions. And one of the first things that they asked was, what was the turning point for you after cheating? And I guess maybe after I found out. Like, what shifted you from being like, I'm done, to, oh, I want to be together?
My shift happened when I saw Elsie's shift happen. Like, I saw something different in her eyes and her energy that I hadn't seen in quite a long time. And, you know, it was like when I was like picking up banks or just hanging out, and, you know, she was still trying to give me the cold shoulder, but I could feel you would have like a different feeling towards me. And that energy is something that I missed and craved. And I knew that you were in there.
Like, when you say my energy towards you, like, you felt like I was feeling you? Or you just felt
It was more like you wasn't being the asshole that you've been, like, the last 8-9 years.
So, I was being nice.
Is that the term? Nice? And loving. Sorry, I hit it.
But you said I wasn't really... I was still mad.
Yes, but you, I guess, just having all the distractions of the outside world and all the outside people, not having those, and it was just us, that you just had that energy back that I missed, that feeling, and I was like, wow, she's still in there.
Do you think that the quarantine played a bigger role, or do you think like it was more just the situation?
I think the quarantine helped. You know, it's like, it's not a good thing to say because, you know, people are dying and getting sick, but I think it did help like us because we were isolated from outside energy and outside world, and, you know, it allowed us to almost connect back. Even though it took a while, it allowed us to connect back.
So if I didn't have that shift because of whatever.
Yeah, I think we wouldn't be together. And I think if we didn't have the quarantine, we didn't have a couple other factors, maybe, I'm not sure, but whatever, if I think about it, those factors, then we might not be back together, and you probably wouldn't have shifted, but yeah. I think it did help.
The fact that I was able to kind of go back and reset and just be better.
Reset, reflect, and allowed me to reflect about our lives and what we want, and we also set goals, remember? We had like bills and...
No, actually, you set the goals by yourself.
I did. That helped a lot, too. And money thing was a big thing for me, too. Like, stress about money, because, you know, I grew up always, like, poor. So, and then we had bills, like, galore, and I just wanted to get rid of it. And I set goals, and, you know, $40,000 just paid it off in a few months.
So, how did you go from, because that's like a big difference, like how
0 to 40,000.
Yeah, like how do you go from being broke and losing your business to making like $40,000?
I do what rich people do during crisis and pandemics. So I, you know, set goals and I figured out, you know, people are at home. You know, I was already doing Amazon a little bit, so I just accelerated it, or also sold stuff from our house. And, you know, I found that people wanted something and I sold it. And then I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it until I got to pay off all the bills.
So it basically took us losing our business and then you selling all the stuff from our business, as well as like our life together, to kind of make the money you needed for us to get back together.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, money's like a huge thing for me, and I've read like books and listen to podcasts and different things like that, and noticed that money's a big thing for a lot of people in their relationship, and it's a big issue. It's a big stress. Some people don't even like looking at their own bank account, you know, to see what money's been drawn out, how much you're saving, and all that stuff. And just being able to accomplish, you know, taking care of those bills, and not having those bills anymore took a crazy amount of weight off my shoulders and stress. And when you have that stress, you start wandering and your brain starts to go array, and you know, it took like a trillion pounds off of my shoulders, and I just felt a lot better, and it allowed me to maybe reflect on our relationship and what I needed to offer you and give you, maybe that something was lacking before, and that's why maybe we didn't connect. And so that, just the relief of the money stress, just helped like immensely.
Okay, so if you were gonna rank, like,
money one,
so money made the biggest difference in us getting back together?
Yes, when I think about it, it helped me because my mindset's completely different now. Mm-hmm. I feel so much better. Like, I've had this stress of mindset since we moved to LA in like 2008. I mean, I've had it my whole life because, you know, we never had money. So, but just moving to LA, not having any money, and then just using credit cards and shit like that to accumulate bills and doing stupid purchases and dumb ventures. It's like taking those out of the way just helps a lot. And I guarantee you, like, to the people out there, if you guys go over your finances and take care of your bills, like, make that be the main focus, like one credit card at a time or whatever you guys want to do, it'll help your guys' relationship immensely.
So when you say money was probably one of the biggest reasons why you were able to, you know, was one of the biggest reasons why we got back together, and then me kind of having that shift, would you say that the main cause of you cheating was also money, or would you still say that was because of me?
I mean, my stress and my anxiety and depression and all that stuff, a lot of it, you know, it's accumulated. But like, if you break down, like, deep down, I kind of think it was money that I always stress about. I think about money and bills and all that stuff, and not being able to provide fully, and picking the wrong ventures like 24/7. And you know, if I'm just thinking about that, not thinking about you, you probably don't want to connect with me. And you know, in turn, that makes me sad and depressed. And what happens when people get sad and depressed? They look outward.
Right.
Damn, that's a book.
You and these books. Okay, so another question that was asked was, what is your advice for men who cheated on how to stay accountable?
Like, how do you stay accountable? What do you mean? Like,
once you cheated, how do you not cheat anymore?
I think your life just has to be in order. Like, for guys, cheating, if you absolutely still love your partner, cheating is like probably like an outlet. Just like something else, like if like your husband or boyfriend goes and buys a car randomly to fulfill himself, or buys Jordans, or I don't know, you know, goes on a vacation that costs way too much that shouldn't happen. Those are different things that somehow calm and relief. I know a lot of guys, and you know, cheating's that maybe that last resort, and it's like everything else needs to be taken care of beforehand. And if you have a partner, you guys just need to talk about it. And honestly, like, for a lot of people, finance is a big thing. I would talk about that. Maybe like going on date night once a week. Maybe that's another thing that you guys might be lacking. Maybe something with the kids. It has to be something that's talked about. And honestly, like, me and Elsie, all we talked about was our business and trying to get that thing, like, you know, off the ground and trying to be successful and trying to show off to people that, you know, we were more successful than we were.
Were you ever afraid that maybe I would cheat or that I would hook up with someone else?
If you cheated or like hooked up with someone else, honestly, wouldn't bother me. It's your choice and stuff happens. And, you know, I already messed up anyways. And, you know, it's people's choices, especially like, you know, we weren't fully together. So we were taking a break. So if that happened, that happened.
No, I don't want to hear your PC answer, Joseph. I want to hear, like, your real...
That is my real answer.
Like, so if I hooked up with someone while we were broken up or after we got back together, you wouldn't care?
No, it wouldn't bother me. I understand people go through stuff, and maybe you're going through stuff. Maybe, you know, you're still like not feeling me, whatever. Maybe I'm not laying down the correct D and you need to try something else. I don't know. Humans are humans.
Yeah. I just also want to clarify really quick that I have not been with anyone else besides Joe. So if you hear any word out on the street that I've hooked up with anyone, had sex with anyone, made out with anyone, that is a lie. I've only seen Joe's penis. I've only kissed Joe's mouth since we've been together, with the exception of Banks.
Kissing Banks, since we've been together.
Yeah, but that's not the point. So if you guys are out there and you've heard any stories about me other than what I am saying here, it is not the truth.
Yeah, she ain't that freaky. She has never even had any toys. Not that freaky.
Okay, thanks, Joe. let's move on. Another question is, how do you deal with your own triggers? Like things that trigger you?
Is this a question for me or you?
No, this is a question for you. This was on Instagram. Like, how do you deal with those things that used to trigger you to do bad things?
Actually, what I do is I refocus and realign about my goals, what I want in my life, and I try to come back to that. So I take a deep breath in, and then I go, okay, it's easier to think, you know, when you already messed up and you've been caught up, that you shouldn't do it again. So I realign and go to goals, you know, try to be successful in business, try to take care of my family, and you know, focus on those goals, because honestly, you know, cheating and all that stuff, it's not worth it. It is what it is, and that's how I just refocus.
I don't know if I asked this in the last one, but I have it on our list of questions. Like, will you ever tell Banks that you cheated on me?
When Banks makes it to the NBA and he has all these women around him, then I'll tell him, because he'll be, you know, more mature then. It's hard because I've witnessed and seen my dad and my uncles and all that stuff cheat my whole life. And, you know, I don't know if it's like a learned behavior or a subconscious, and I've hated my dad and all that stuff. I mean, it didn't really bother me because my mom said, oh, you know, he's cheating again or whatever. It is what it is. But, you know, it's just crazy that, you know, you can get that. I feel like you can get some of that learned behavior passed down by just watching and being present. So I do have to watch what I do and say in front of Banks, and, you know, everybody should as well, because these kids might not fully understand what's going on, but they do. And just the actions will be picked up in their subconscious.
Like, you're one of those people that you're really good at, like, blocking stuff out in your mind that makes you uncomfortable. But if you can look back over the past eight or 10 months since we broke up.
I already forgot.
What was, like, the hardest thing for you to deal with?
When, during or before?
During.
The hardest thing to deal with? Honestly, like, I was so used to having you around in my life for 15 years that not having you was kind of weird, even though the last whatever 8-9 years was kind of bad and we weren't cool and connected really. Mm-hmm. But just not having you, even, you know, not closing the drawers and stuff, I was like, damn, the house is so clean right now. And there's just not stuff everywhere, and, you know, it felt weird. And just, you know, we've had Banks for the last couple of years, and it was like not having him was kind of hard. It just felt right that, you know, we're back together and taking care of Banks together and figuring this stuff out.
When you say it felt weird, does that mean that you missed me?
I missed the old you, and you were coming back. So yeah, that one. Not the one that's like Cruella de Vil. I've never seen whatever that she's from.
101 Dalmatians.
Never seen it.
Wow. Who were you the most afraid of when we broke up?
Honestly, I was most afraid of your sister.
Really?
Yeah. Because then I did that little message, and then, you know, she came back at me, and then I was trying to say sorry, and then it wasn't enough. And then I didn't know what to say, and I panicked, and I got scared. And then after that, I was like, every time I heard you talking to her on the phone, I was like, oh my God, my heart would drop.
Why?
I don't know. Your family's so intimidating, and they're so judgy.
Just to give you guys a little bit of background information about that, like, when we broke up, my sister and my brother-in-law were the first people that I told, and they were pissed. My sister was real pissed. And Joe a few days later, after they found out, he didn't know if he needed to reach out to them, but I think I might have mentioned that it would mean a lot to me. I didn't want to force him to do it because I wanted it to be natural, but he ended up messaging my sister and my brother-in-law just apologizing, and my sister came back with like, not like the most welcoming, obviously she's my younger sister, so she's going to have my back, but it was just like, you need to learn your lesson, you have to prove yourself, like you can't just do this and hurt my sister, like intentionally break her heart and think that we're just gonna welcome you back with open arms. And so from there, Joe was like, what do I do?
And I'm also the type of personality is like, oh, okay, this, that's the way it is. F you, I'm gonna go the other way. But I mean, I didn't know what to say. I was scared too, so I just was like, until recently. Your mom was cool because I saw her like a couple days after at Walmart in the parking lot, which was weird. And she's like, you know, you're stupid, but you know, things can't work out. Just go say sorry. You know, it's like, sorry doesn't always work. But I mean, your mom still scares me every day since for 15 years. her opinions scare me.
Oh, I was going to say, my little 5 foot.
No, it's opinions. It's crazy how people's opinions, I guess the people that you care about, their opinions do affect you and how you go about. So that's probably my hardest thing to do is trying to overcome those feelings of people's opinions.
Did anyone tell you, like, don't get back together, just stay single, like just break up and get a divorce?
Actually, nobody said that.
Really?
And then I didn't even talk anything about to my boys about anything. It's kind of weird. Guys don't talk to each other, so it's kind of weird that we didn't even probably say one word about it. We just played video games and watched sports. So guys need somebody to talk to, and if you're a guy, talk to somebody. And ladies with men, they need someone to talk to.
I think some women need people to talk to as well. It's not just, if you need someone to talk to, find someone to talk to.
You!
I mean, yes, you could talk to me as a coach, but look in your circle first. And if there's no one there, then yeah, reach out. I'm a professional listener. It's what I'm here to do. So do you think it'll ever get back to normal? Or do you think it's just like a totally new relationship?
It feels like a totally new relationship and we have different goals. New goals. And we don't have our past businesses and bills anymore, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So that works out for me. I know there's residue of me cheating and all that stuff. And, you know, there's residue of us in our old ways. But I know we're trying to get better. And all we could do is try and work it out. And if it doesn't work out at the end of the day, it wasn't meant to be, or it was at the time. And, you know, the future changed a little bit. But as of right now, it's pretty good.
What would you do if you ever saw that girl on the street?
What I would do is what I do when I see people I know in public anyways. I cover my face and walk the other way.
But what if she sees you first and comes up to you? Would you have anything to say?
I go, hi, gotta go. That's what I would do. I mean, I do that to normal people anyways. I mean, it's in the past. It's out of sight, out of mind. And if they do come in my sight, I'd be like, hi, okay, have a good one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me to talk to her. It doesn't do anything for me to talk to anybody. So I'm like, eh. But I'm just different like that anyways.
So what has the situation and cheating taught you about relationships and about yourself?
Relationships are hard. And you need to talk. And you need to be not closed-minded. You have to have your heart open. And I think you have to get your business and finances together. And I think that's a big thing in relationships. But I think a lot of times is that the husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend don't talk. And the guys act tough and they're like, oh, I don't need to talk. I'm macho and stuff. And the girl's like, oh, yeah, he's macho. I have my friends. And then he's just going to, you know, not talk to anybody. But it's not true. The guys do get pent up and the guys don't have anybody to talk to. And I think, honestly, guys find that companionship because they, in the beginning, like when you're all lovey and dovey and you know you get in that first year love relationship stuff, you do talk, right? And then once you get comfortable and you become friends, you stop talking. And the girl's like, eh, whatever, we've talked enough, that whole year was good. And then she's like, I'm gonna go talk to my friends, and you just stay in your bubble.
Yeah.
And I feel like I didn't really talk to you about more personal stuff. It was just more about goals and, you know, families, our family stuff. after our first year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about love, really. It wasn't about, you know, how to grow together. It was about how to grow our business, how to grow with our family or worrying about our families. And it wasn't anything in between. And so
It wasn't anything about us.
It wasn't. And I think that's what was going on. It's like when you go to a restaurant, you see older people and they just eat their food and they just don't say nothing.
We used to always talk about those people.
Yeah, we were those people, though.
Yeah.
And those people are like, you know, they probably haven't said anything to each other for 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they probably should have ended the relationship a long time ago or talked a long time ago. I was also thinking, like, I don't want to be those couples. And every time we went out to eat or whatever, I was like, oh, man, we're that couple. Mm-hmm. Or when you go talk to everybody else, like, all, and I'm talking to everybody else all nice and, you know, cool with everybody else. And then when we come back together, we don't say a word to each other. It's like, oh, we're that couple.
Yeah.
So we're just all showy on the outside.
So if you could give one piece of advice to a guy or a girl who is at the breaking point in their relationship and they're thinking about cheating, what is your advice?
If you're thinking about cheating or doing something drastic to cover up that feeling that you have inside, I would just say, talk to your partner. Talk about maybe setting goals. Talk about what's missing in your life, what's missing from your partner. See if they're missing anything. And honestly, you got to ask them questions. So if it's like, you know, if you're a guy and your girlfriend or wife is being distant, you got to ask them questions, or vice versa. Act like you actually care about the other person, you know, because it's not all about you. And you get information from them, and then in turn, hopefully they're going to ask you the questions. And then once you guys get that back and forth feedback, then you work on it and just keep going from there.
Is there anything else you want to say before we end this final episode of Wake Up or Break Up?
I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Do you like doing this podcast?
You know, it's so funny because I think I talked to you before we broke up, that I wanted to kind of do something like this, and I didn't know what I would talk about. And it's so, I don't want to say cool, but it's really neat to have a topic that I'm super passionate about and something that I'm currently working on, because it gives me more excitement when I'm doing these episodes than just about some generic ass advice topic, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you guys do need help, I'm gonna give her a little plug. You guys do need help. Guys, reach out to her. Relationship stuff, friend stuff, they stuff, whatever it may be. Elsie's here to talk. You know, she could do a free, what's the first session? What did they call that stuff at, like, the gym?
Consultation.
Consultation for you. So reach out, guys. Don't be scared. It's free, the first one.
Thank you for that, Joe. That was a nice, unnecessary plug. I'll decide whether or not I keep it in the final episode.
Keep it in.
Do you want to close out this episode?
I just did a thought.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, everybody. So we just had a great talk. You know, me and Elsie are working with our relationship, working on our relationship. And if you guys do need help.
Oh, my God.
She is such a great person to talk to. And you guys, that's how I close it out.
All right, you guys, that was the final episode of Wake Up or Break Up Season 1. I hope you join me for Season 2 as I bring on other people with stories of infidelity, betrayal, and forgiveness. It's going to be pretty interesting and totally interactive. So I hope you guys will join me for Season 2 in a few weeks. And thanks again, Joe, for coming on here and sharing and being open to the process. I appreciate you.
Yeah. And follow her on TikTok.
You guys can find me on Instagram at WakeUpElsie. You can also follow Joe, who doesn't post anything anymore, at GiantAsian.
No, you don't. Don't have to follow me. Doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, and if you do want to take up Joe on his so kind yet unnecessary plug to do some coaching with me, you can go to my website. It is awakeupyourpassion.com. And I'd love to set up a free consultation and talk to you a little bit about your relationship, whether it's romantic, platonic, or with your family and friends. Until next time, you guys, have the most amazing day, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Wake up or break up. Dun, 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 dun.